Welcome to Preach the Word, the radio ministry of the Yucaipa Church of Christ. The Yucaipa Church of Christ is located at 33981 Yucaipa Boulevard in Yucaipa. Visit their website at yucaipachurchofchrist.org, where you can hear today's teachings and past lessons. You're invited to join the Yucaipa Church of Christ for their weekly services. Assembly times are Sunday morning classes beginning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday worship and assembly at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening assembly at 5 p.m., and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. All are invited and welcome to study God's Word with the Yucaipa Church of Christ.
It's such a pleasure to be here with you this afternoon. I'm very thankful that you're here. And I want to encourage everybody to please come and see us at the church in Yucaipa, up on the boulevard, the Church of Christ. It'd be wonderful to have you. Our lesson today is, do not complain. Do not complain. And it's based on James chapter 5, verse 9. And it is amazing how practical the book of James is, all five chapters, on teaching us how to live and how to get along with others, and most importantly, how to recognize the importance of God in our lives. In James chapter 5, verse 9, we're given, do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. If there is one thing I have to work harder on in my life, it is to resist the temptation to complain. And it is a temptation that is there, I believe, not only for me, but for all of us, with things that are going on in the world that we disapprove of. In fact, take a look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. What does it say? It says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. When we take stock in all of the blessings that our God has provided for us, we really have no grounds or excuses for complaining. And I'm reminded of what was said in Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. Now please, let me explain to you what was going on here before we actually look at the passage. What's happened is the children of Israel have been freed from Egyptian bondage. They have left Egypt, but they're backed up to the Red Sea, or the Sea of Reeds, as it's more accurately referred to. And on one side from them is the army of the Egyptians, who are now in hot pursuit, and their desire is to do away with every last one of the Israelites for anger that they have toward them. And the only thing that's keeping them at bay, because remember, Israel's backed up to the water. The only thing that's keeping them at bay is this cloud pillar during the day, pillar of fire at night. So God instructs Moses and tells him what to do as far as this body of water is concerned. But notice what God says in 14:14 of Exodus. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. How magnificent is that instruction? You know, they had a tendency to complain, and we'll talk about that a little further in the lesson. But they were told to keep silent. If we are directed to not complain, what should we do instead? How is praising, as opposed to complaining, so much more beneficial and productive? Notice with me what we have in the book of Matthew. Now, this is in Matthew chapter 11, and it is verse 25. Matthew 11, 25. Please take a look at this with me. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Oh, the teaching that Jesus did. Teaching not among the wise. Oh, there were occasions, of course. But spending the majority of his time among the infants. Among those that were classified as sinners who'd been pretty much written off by the society in which they found themselves. But this is Jesus praising God Almighty. Well, what should we do instead of complaining? I mean, again, it's such a common thing to complain. It's such a temptation that we give into it far more frequently than we want to admit to. What do we do instead? Well, I mentioned that we would get back to Israel, and we're going to do that just now. Israel groaned and complained after being delivered from the Egyptian bondage. Stop a second. Please let that soak into good and honest hearts in this listening audience. They complained after being delivered from Egyptian bondage. I want to direct you to the book of Numbers. I want you to see firsthand how they complained and what it was that they complained about. I find it amazing. So we turn our attention to Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. Again, Numbers 11, 4 through 6. The rabble who were among them had greedy desires, and also the sons of Israel wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna." Oh, can't you see that complaint? Wow. Couldn't they be thankful? You know, if it hadn't been for manna that came from heaven, they would have died. They would have absolutely starved to death. And maybe it wasn't that wide variety that they experienced in Egypt, but remember, they were in bondage, in slavery in Egypt. And there were those that actually wanted to select new leaders and go back. How amazing. Instead of picturing their sure defeat in the promised land, they should have listened to Joshua and Caleb. In Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 through 32, and chapter 14, verses 6 through 8, you have the statements that were put forth by the spies who went in and spied out the land. And this is before they began that 40-year wilderness wandering. In fact, as it would turn out, because the people would accept the negative report of 10 of those spies, as opposed to the positive report from Joshua and Caleb, who spied out the land. Even though both sets of spies said it is a land that flows with milk and honey, still the people accepted the negative report. Seems so often to be the case, doesn't it? Instead of accepting the positive, people seemed to gravitate toward the negative, and Israel was no exception to that. Yet if, as Joshua and Caleb point out, God was pleased with them, they would be able to go forward and defeat their enemy, that there was no longer any protection over their enemy, and it didn't matter what size their enemy was, it didn't matter how many fortified cities their enemy had, or what kind of weaponry or what kind of armies. They realized if God supported them, then they would have no problem defeating their enemies throughout the promised land. Instead of complaining, we must be committed to finding God's blessings and in trusting Him. We need to trust our God. And if there's any book in the Bible that teaches us this and its importance, it's the book of Psalms. Please let me encourage you to share quickly with me some great passages. The first of these is Psalms 62, verses 1 and 2. My soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. Then in chapter 63 of Psalms, verses 1 through 3 were given, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. How beautiful is that? And yet, there is a beautiful redundancy recorded in the book of Psalms. It is in the 136th Psalm, and I want to share it with you, just part of it anyway, and you'll see what I mean by redundancy. Again, this is Psalms 136. Let's start with verse 10. To him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and brought Israel out from their midst, for his loving kindness is everlasting. With a strong arm and an outstretched, or a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And on it continues. And what is this particular psalm focused on? Well, it's focused on what we talked about before, about Israel being freed from Egyptian bondage and delivered by God, even through the Red Sea or the Sea of Reeds. It's amazing. You know, instead of complaining in our day and age, there's other things we can do. Yes, yes, absolutely. Other things we can do. For example, instead of complaining, we can pray. And we're taught in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, not to be anxious in anything, but to let our requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. We can also rejoice. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, we are taught, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice. We can also, instead of complaining, study. Joshua was taught in Joshua 1:8 to meditate day and night upon the law that it would not depart from him in order to have good success in the conquest of the promised land, we understand. Another thing we can do instead of complaining is we can help someone. We can help someone. Luke chapter 10, 33 and 34 shows the Samaritan helping the man who'd been left for dead after being beaten and robbed. He was left for dead. He came upon this man. He felt compassion on this man. And then he immediately went into action, binding up his wounds, putting him on his own beast of burden, taking him to an inn, and then taking care of him there. Or, instead of complaining, we could live well. There's a great statement from the Apostle Paul, which he was inspired to give us, once again, in the book of Philippians. In Philippians 1:27, he wrote, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And instead of complaining, we can count our blessings. Count our blessings. In the book of Malachi, in chapter 3, verse 10, God tells them to bring the tithe and then see if he won't open the windows of heaven and absolutely flood them with blessings from him. God shows that to us on a daily basis, doesn't he? He blesses us beyond our ability to even count, much less understand, how God could love someone who is so obstinate to him and so diametrically opposed to him on so many occasions. Yet not only does he love, but he blesses. Well, how is praising, as opposed to complaining, so much more beneficial and productive for us in our lives? Praising God is a sure sign that we understand where blessings come from and that we're receiving them from our God. In James 1:17, we are taught, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation and no shadow cast, meaning God is always God. And this is what God does. And this is how God functions. He blesses. He is full of loving kindness, and he blesses. And you know, even Jonah even realized that in Jonah. Chapter 4, verse 2, I should say. Praising God, you see, is an upbuilding activity. It's upbuilding. And I love the way the Hebrew writer gave this to us. This is in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Yeah. If I would do that instead of complaining, if I would invest myself in that activity, how much more positive could I become? And how much more, really think about it, would people want to be around me? Would people be mindful of me or memorable in their sight? Praising God diverts our attention from what bothers us and centers us instead in the joy of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I want to share with you a monumental passage. I know we see them all that way, and I say that a lot, but please take a look at this with me. This is in the book of Luke. It is in Luke chapter 19. And I want to share with you, this is the reaction of the disciples to Jesus. Again, this is in Luke 19. Share with me verses 37 and 38. It's just so beautiful. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he called out saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And of course, they would go on to praise our magnificent Lord. Look at this. This is in 19, verses 37 and 38. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." You know, I can see this magnificent crowd standing in praise and calling out to God on behalf of Jesus because of what they had seen our Lord do. How magnificent is this revelation of God's truth? And shouldn't we be geared and centered in exactly the same activity? You know, it wastes time to complain. It's kind of like hatred toward another person. Every time you think of that person or you see that person, you have to rekindle that hatred. And it doesn't help you a bit. And it really doesn't hurt the other person that you're angry with them. They're at odds with you, so be it, as the case might be. But if you cut it off, if you stop the hatred, if you let it go aside, then it doesn't take any more of your energy. It doesn't take any more of your time. You don't have to give yourself to that. Instead, you can give yourself to the things we're talking about in this lesson. There's really no justification to complain. There really isn't. Oh, I know it's a natural human tendency, and I know that I've done a lot of it. Like I said at the beginning of the lesson, it's something I truly need to work harder on. Of course, there are a lot of things I need to work harder on, and that certainly is my goal and ambition as a servant of Jesus Christ. Make no mistake. But I don't need to complain. You know, I think about it. My wife will hear me complain, or my kids will hear me complain, or my grandchildren will hear me complain, or my brothers and sisters in Christ, or my friends, or people I work with, people I like to associate with. They're going to hear that. And what are they going to think about me? Can't this guy handle the pressure that he faces? Doesn't he know he needs to trust in God? And doesn't he know God's going to be there? You know, another mistake that so many of us make, and probably one of the great sources of complaint, is we'll go to God in prayer, and we'll offload whatever it is, whatever burden it is that we're struggling with, and then we'll take it right back on ourselves. You know, take it off your shoulder, give it to God, and then grab it right back and put it on your shoulder. What a mistake. What a mistake. We depend upon God, not ourselves. These things are beyond us. So we have to learn to leave that with God, not carry it around with us, not be something that we think about again and again and again that only causes us harm. We need to be able to let things go and not complain about them. We need to realize when we have that tendency to want to complain, we need to realize what God has done and how much we depend on Him. And even realize, please, that there are things that God has done that we haven't seen, that we don't understand, we can't even anticipate. And yet God has done them so that we can get through another 24-hour period, much less multiple years in a life. It really makes you stop and think, this is our God. He is so incredibly magnificent, and He can do things because, of course, He's so far superior to our understanding, so far superior to our power, so far superior to our limited capability. We can depend on Him. We can trust Him. He'll be there for us. And He will be, like the psalmist says, our stronghold. Yeah, we need to do that, folks. I sometimes have spoken to others in my lessons, and I've talked about the dropping back and punning strategy. What I mean by that is simply, wait a minute, hold it, stop. Take a deep breath. Realize who God is. Realize who you are in comparison to the true, magnificent, holy God. And then be quiet. Be quiet and let God go to work. Trust that He's doing so. and let him go to work. And here's another thing. Please understand, too often we're going to create a scenario in our minds. And we're going to say, this here, this is what I know will be the answer to my prayer. This. And we'll go ahead and pray to God. We'll envision that scenario. And when it doesn't happen exactly that way, then we get angry. We get frustrated. And we complain. Why? Because it didn't happen the way I thought it should happen. The way I visualized it happened. Something happened incredibly different from what I had decided should be the case. And you know what? God still accomplished what it was that we had asked him about. God intervened on behalf of that person who's in the hospital. God helped us through a difficult time at work or a difficult time at school or a difficult time in our relationship with someone. And we've gotten to the other side of it. You know, that's the thing. Difficult times don't last. They don't. They come and they go. Sometimes they seem to stack up on top of each other, but nonetheless, they come and they go. There is light at the end of that tunnel. There is a silver lining to those clouds. We have to trust God. And then when you look back on what's happened, you'll have much clearer understanding because hindsight is 20/20 in review, and you'll realize where God was involved, and it could have happened no other way than for God to be involved. So again, I've alleviated something that I would normally have complained about. And that's what we need to do. We need to be in the alleviation business. Alleviate any of these things that are so negative and so counterproductive. And instead, set ourselves up and center ourselves squarely on God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praising God allows us to develop an appreciation for what awaits us in eternity as well. And I want you to consider this with me as we're in the book of Luke, in chapter 2. Let's read verses 13 and 14. Again, Luke chapter 2, 13 and 14. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." You know what we just read about? The hosts of heaven. That's what we just read about. And we're supposed to be preparing ourselves to one day be in the very presence of God Almighty and all of the hosts of heaven. If you want to see them in a little more detail, I encourage you to go to the book of Revelation, to go to chapters 4 and 5, and you will see the hosts. You will see the 24 elders and the living creatures and the angels, and you will see them absolutely fall flat on their face. The elders who have crowns on their head, they'll take the crowns off and cast them before the throne of God and fall flat on their face and acknowledge the greatness of God, the magnificence of God. That is a scene from heaven. Heaven. And we want to be with God. We want to be there. We want to be there throughout all eternity. And we want to take everybody with us that we possibly can. Yes, souls are precious. Time is short. And we want to do everything we can to help each other get there, to obey the will of God, to be a faithful, obedient child of God, and do everything we can to help others draw nearer and nearer and nearer to such a God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We likewise want to be preparing ourselves for that great day. You know, Jesus can come at any time, and he'll come when we least expect him. So we have to work hard on that preparation to one day be with our Lord, our Master, our Savior Jesus. And I want you to look forward to that, and let's not complain anymore. Instead, let's praise God for everything he's done and all the ways he's enriched our lives. Thank you.
You've been listening to Preach the Word, the radio ministry of the Yucaipa Church of Christ. The Yucaipa Church of Christ is located at 33981 Yucaipa Boulevard in Yucaipa. Visit their website at yucaipachurchofchrist.org, where you can hear today's teachings and past lessons. You're invited to join the Yucaipa Church of Christ for their weekly services. Assembly times are Sunday morning classes beginning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday worship and assembly at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening assembly at 5 p.m., and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. All are invited and welcome to study God's Word with the Yucaipa Church of Christ.